Okay, good afternoon, everybody. This is the regular Monday Committee on Environment meeting. We have a quorum with Legislator Maizano, Legislator Avenanti, Legislator Rogowski, myself. Others will be joining us. I apologize for the delay in getting started.
He's a planner.
Tom, can we just get started?
Yeah, sure.
All right, one conversation. Recognize Legislator Myers. Again, apologies for the delay in getting started. The previous committee meeting ran late. Today we're talking about the Sound Shore Wastewater Treatment plant upgrades based on the consent order. Commissioner Laurel is here to join us. You know, I'm sure we're all going to have questions, but why don't you, I know for the record, when Legislator Testa comes, he was not on the committee when we did this, so maybe if you want to back up, give us a little bit of history, and then where we are today, and we'll go for there. So just so the tape can hear you identify yourself, we know who you are. But
just for the record, before we go, this subject may make me go into tears. Judy and I may cry. Marty, all three of us may cry during the course of this.
I know. Unfortunately, we are where we are, and so we're moving forward. Commissioner.
Good afternoon. Tom Morrow, Commissioner, Department of Environmental Facilities. As you are aware, the Department of Environmental Conservation changed the permits for the four Long Island Sound plants to require them to remove total nitrogen. The county subsequently entered into a consent order in 2004 for each of the four Long Island Sound plants. The plants each have a limit, but the aggregate limit is considered as one limit as a bubble for the four plants. The county did an engineering plan, which it completed in 2006. The engineering plan provided the costs to upgrade all four of the plants with the no stone unturned for all the different processes that we looked at. We went into quite a bit of depth. And when we looked at the costs, we found that they were quite high. So we went back to the state and renegotiated the 2008 consent order, which we are acting under today, and which allows us to only upgrade two of the plants, the Mamaroneck and the New Rochelle Wastewater Treatment Plant. New Rochelle Wastewater Treatment Plant takes a little bit extra work because there were, in addition to the nitrogen work, there were other speedies permit work limits that had to be upgraded in that plant. Percent removals for BOD, flow, and residual chlorine. So once we entered into that consent order, your board gave us bonding authorization to go ahead with the design of those two treatment plants. The design of the Mamaroneck treatment plant was completed on time. And it was available for ARRA funding. The construction project was awarded December 31st, 2009. That was for Carlin Construction. The installation construction project was $26,688,000 and change.
Can we start crying? Jim?
I know.
Should we start?
There was a equipment pre-purchase for the media that goes into the aeration tanks that helps provide the nitrogen removal. That was $6,500,000.
The little pieces?
The little pasta wheels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Trivial Pursuit pieces.
So when it all, the original estimates were about $55 million, and the ARRA projection was for 50%. Principal forgiveness, which would have been $27.5 million. The total project cost right now is a little over $45 million, so it's about $10 million less than the original estimate, and that includes the design, the construction administration. We also received almost $3 million in green infrastructure grants for upgrades to the equipment to make them more energy efficient.
How much again, can you just say?
It was $2,928,000 and change.
Commissioner, why are you going through this, if you can, for the three of us on this side of the table? If you could kind of lay out
when these costs will start hitting our taxpayers, we'd appreciate it.
Well, I think that's really probably a question for finance.
Are you not sure?
Budget,
okay.
But I think somewhere around 2012.
Okay, so we're not there yet.
No, not there yet.
Good thing.
Put your house on the market probably.
Yeah. This November, you're okay.
Yeah, okay. We're okay for this November, apparently.
So what I'm hearing here is with $10 million under budget. That's the bottom line?
That's just for one project.
It's a
bubble project where they're doing New Rochelle and Mamaroneck, and it's charged to the four sewer districts.
But the one project is
270
million. Okay.
Billion.
Million.
270 million.
So we don't know what the rest of the project's going to look like. Just this piece of it is $10 million under budget.
That's correct.
And do you think you're going to complete this piece under budget?
No, he's going through.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm getting lost in all the way over here.
We certainly hope to. Okay.
Take your time.
We got 6 years.
I'm lost in all the numbers. I just want to know the bottom line.
You realize when the person comes, my next door neighbor walks up when their sewer tax is up $400 one year, you realize what I'm going to be facing.
Understood.
Run, Jim, run.
I know. I'm going to have my wife answer the door.
All right, let's stay focused.
The contractor is on site. He started to mobilize, set up a staging area in Harbor Island Park. It's been fenced off. We have a permit from the village. We've worked that out with them. So the project is proceeding. The project is due to have construction complete the end of 2012. December 31st. It needs to be in compliance by June 30th, 2013. So we think we can meet all of those deadlines.
Now, is that the as far as that plan's concerned, that's the finish of that plant? Then you would go to New Rochelle? So you leave Mamaroneck and go to the New Rochelle plant?
Well, no. New Rochelle's going on right now.
As we speak. Concurrent. But this will be the end. You're looking at sometime in 2012 of finishing the...
And being done and in compliance by 2013.
Just note for the record, we're being joined by Legislator Testa. Commissioner, we have the schedule of compliance. Do you have that in front of you? I mean, I know you're familiar with it. Chris gave it to our committee. Do you have a copy for the commissioner?
Yep.
If you could maybe just take us through this up to date. Are we in compliance with the consent order and...
We've met all our consent order milestones to date. Really, the next ones are going to be for New Rochelle, but we're way ahead of New Rochelle as well. As you can see here, the submission of the design, this is number 14. That's kind of the next one that's come up. Design report for phase one TRC and secondary treatment and flow, New Rochelle wastewater treatment plant. Because we were available, or we tried to get our funding, New Rochelle is broken down into two projects, what we call the non-BNR and the BNR. The non-BNR project was recently bid. It was actually ready for our funding by the end of 2009. However, there was no funding available. So it was eventually bid and awarded in March of this year. So we actually have our construction kickoff meeting for that project with Yonkers Contracting Thursday this week, so the 16th. So that project is way ahead of schedule. That had the same schedule as the New Rochelle BNR. So they were supposed to have the design complete for that December 31st, 2010, the end of this year. But that's already been bid, awarded, and the contractor's starting to mobilize.
Okay, thanks. I've got three questions and then certainly open it up to members. Commissioner, when we had this discussion last year, very intense, as I'm sure you recall, a lot of questions about the engineering, and I seem to remember at the time the best minds of the engineering community we pulled together tried to quantify that we would get close to what our consent order goals were. But I think there was still, correct me if I'm wrong, a little bit of ambiguity just because we're dealing with new technology, and it was a big number, and there were a few questions that were left outstanding, and in spite of the best, you know, thinking and work and quantification done by the engineers. Have we gotten any closer now? Do we feel like we're definitely going to meet our targets with this new technology? Because admittedly, a lot of this is new technology. I think as we discussed, some of these, like the pasta wheels and things, you know, the engineers scoured the world to try to find this stuff. Do you feel more comfortable that we're going to reach our goals as mandated by the consent order?
And well, if I could just add to that, I think the whole issue with Rye, with the Blind Brook, and
absolutely.
Using it as a, we have
sure,
some leverage
absolutely.
There.
It's going to be close. I can't say that we're absolutely going to meet it, because one of the factors is that these are biological systems. So to see how they work in full scale from the pilots that we ran, we expect to get better performance. Looking at the data from some of the recent treatment plants that have been put online full scale with this type of technology, we're seeing some better numbers than we came up with in the pilots. So instead of getting maybe 3.5 to 4 milligrams per liter, we're seeing numbers under 3 milligrams per liter. So we're hopeful that we'll meet those goals. But until you get started up and you run a full scale in your treatment plant, each treatment plant's a little bit different. As far as the Rye issue goes, as you know, we have a WQIP grant for that with a match from the county for the design and the construction administration. We already pre-purchased, we put out a purchase order for the equipment. That's been done. We also bid and we have awarded to a contractor already on the site the work for the BNR at Rye. So that should be finished on time, which is September of this year. And we're hopeful that the addition of those pounds bring us closer and hopefully to the limit of where we need to be.
Can I have one follow-up on this?
Absolutely.
One of the things those of us, some of the legislators here in the county executive's office at the time, when we were pitching to DEC and state legislators in the governor's office, I guess you remember one of the things we were saying was, can you give us some breathing room here, because technology is always changing and maybe some new technologies will come forth over time that could maybe allow us to do this much cheaper and not kill the taxpayers. Just out of curiosity, over the last couple of years, have you seen any other types of technologies that are coming forth? Maybe something we incorporate along the way, or is it kind of still where we were at the time a couple of years ago? Just out of curiosity.
I haven't seen a whole lot of change in the technology. I think the materials that they use for the technology, whether it be membranes or whether it be some of the chemicals that are used in the process, there are different chemicals to use, there are more efficient chemicals. So you've seen little tweaks to those.
That can help us along the way.
Yes.
Thanks.
Couple more questions that I have. One of the things that was discussed at the time, again, to get us to that hump or over the hump, was the notion of nitrogen trading with either Connecticut or maybe Nassau or even New York City. I know there were some discussions held. There was talk of more discussions. Can you tell us of where we might stand with some of that?
Well, one of the issues was Great Neck, and we were hopeful of a trade with Great Neck. Great Neck, for some reason, decided to build their own plant rather than make a pumping station and pump it to the Wantagh facility down on the south shore of Nassau
really?
County.
Oh, I didn't know.
Absolutely. They decided to build their own plant and not take the DEC's money. I just can't tell you why they did that.
How did they pay for it, if I may, through the chair? How did they pay for it?
Well, they're paying for it through their rates.
Through their nose.
Unbelievable.
So that trade is kind of off the table for us now.
The executive director that no longer has a job, but that's...
But I mean, do you think it's due to pressure from the South Shore?
It could be. It could have been. But I just think that they wanted to retain the people and the jobs and the control of the plant. And I guess they figured if they wanted to do development in there, municipality, that was their best shot of controlling it.
Wow. Thank you. Sorry.
The other issue with New York City, one of the benefits of the 2008 consent order was it put us on the same timeline with them. So we have to be in compliance by 2014, or June 30th, I think it is. However, if we don't meet it at that time, we still have three more years until 2017, which is the same schedule as New York City. So I think we'll know then if New York City has any additional pounds that they want to trade at that point.
Okay. These two construction projects, have they impacted operations at the plant? Are things still operating as should be, and any impacts from that? Also, just note for the record, Legislator Kaplowitz, welcome.
5 o'clock call.
We do.
It's really pretty early in the construction. We've just mobilized at Mamaroneck, and like I said, we're just having the construction kickoff for the first project, which is the non-BNR at Rochelle. The second project, the BNR project, that design has to be completed by the end of this year. And it has to be bid by, I think, the middle of next year. So there really hasn't been a lot of impact right now.
Okay, thanks. The last question I have is really more financial. I know we're not the budget committee, but we all have a fiduciary responsibility. And we had a lengthy discussion last year during the budget process that in Westchester County, our capital projects are not audited. And we spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year on capital projects, and we don't audit them. You know, and we're concerned, everyone is concerned about where every dollar is going. This is a massive project, $270 million. Could you just take us through, even though we're the Environment Committee, not the Budget Committee, as I said, we're all still concerned about this. Can you take us through what policies, procedures, and controls you have in place, either with your department or in conjunction with budget or finance, you know, just to make sure that with this amount of expenditure going out the door, that every dollar is accounted for, well spent, you know, competitively bid, the whole thing?
Well, actually, that's probably maybe better answered by DPW, since all of the work goes through DPW, all of the requisitions for payment by the contractors are reviewed by DPW. First, they're reviewed by our consultants to make sure that all the work was done. All the people that were on the site were actually there. All our engineers that were on the site reviewing the job and the work, they keep daily records of who was there, materials, equipment that were used, and then they compare those and sit down, and only after they clear it do they give it to DPW. They go through it, and then in the Mamaroneck design, you also have to report to ARRA on all of the money that is spent, and ARRA audits all of our books, as well as EFC has the right to audit because they're the ones who provide us the financing. So I think there's a lot of different people that have oversight and have eyes on.
All right, so between ARRA
really
and EFC, just for the record, that's Environmental Facilities Corporation and the American Recovery Act. So it's a state and the feds. Thank you. That's it for my questions. I have Legislator Rogowski, Legislator Kaplowitz.
I would just like
your hand was up.
No, it's just I'm holding my hand.
Oh, okay. Legislator Rogowski, Legislator
Myers. A couple of questions. Go back. Number eight on this chart is the flow monitoring program in some of the communities. I know, you know, you and I have talked about this before. We went through the budget committee when we set it up. Where is that program? I assume all the monitoring have been in place. The meters are put in place. You're now monitoring. Do you have any And tie that answer to what's the results, and tie that into the sort of the recent rainstorms or the flows, and that give you any good information from what's going on.
It's still raw data. We're in our second year of the three-year program. Mm-hmm. I think the collection of all the information, of all the data of determining how many people are in different sectors, so we can put it on a per capita basis. I think as far as the recent rainstorms, all the plants performed exceedingly well, but as you probably know, Mamaroneck, which usually gets about 15 million gallons a day, was over 100 million gallons a day.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get. It's really 100 million. Yeah. So yeah. Would you shut down and let it go? Just let it flow?
No. It was all treated. Some, you know, some received primary mixed with secondary. Other, you know, secondary up to the limits of the design of the plant. But all the water that got to the plants was treated and sent through the plants, disinfected, and we're meeting permit.
Really? So from the capacity, well, like 20, was it designed for 20, or what is it?
It's designed for 20.6.
20.6, and you handled 100 million.
That's correct.
Amazing.
Similar results with the other plants
right.
as well.
Well, it seems from time to time I read in Yonkers that such a heavy rain that we have to turn off the treatment and let it go. Isn't that where did I read that? Somewhere over the last year. Not recently.
Well, no. That's true. Yeah, that's you don't true. Turn off the treatment. You minimize the treatment.
You minimize. You just
let do the primary instead of
right.
going primary and secondary.
You're always doing primary and secondary, but there are limits to how much flow can go through the secondary system.
So that means you're not doing secondary.
For a portion. If it exceeds... So again, 50 million gallons.
Just. So what will happen once we have the tertiary in? Once BNR is in, and the whole tertiary cleansing.
For Mamaroneck, the plant would operate the same.
So if we did have to go to, if we had this 100 million gallons of flow because of some outrageous storm, would it then not go through secondary or
a portion
tertiary?
A portion of it would not. It would go around. That will not happen in the Rochelle. All of the flow will go through.
Because
all
of the
states.
Osmosis?
Because
of the membrane?
The design of the new plant. I mean, you know, we were able to design it so all that flow would go through it.
Interesting.
So, Commissioner, what do we do now?
Marty, can I just follow this
Wait,
up?
Tom, what?
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Judy. Yeah, this isn't public works, this environment, but it gets to the point 100 million gallons, is that. And it's designed for 20, you're doing this flow monitoring, but at the end of the day, I mean, this is supposed to be, these are sewage treatment plants, so we should really care in the
perfect
world of how much rain.
Right.
You have a rainstorm,
right. Clean water.
So as the commissioner,
doors and use the bathroom more.
Well, as the commissioner, where do we go? I mean, we did inflow and egress and SCSS, so that's the I&I, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Where are we? Are you surprised that it's 100 million? Where are the gaps here? That's a lot.
Well,
what do we do about that?
I think all of the SSCS work and the I&I remediation did so much. In other words, there was a certain line that was drawn, and all the remediation was above that line, and below was not addressed. And as you know, things don't, they deteriorate more, they don't get necessarily better. So from 1994, when those were done, certainly the conditions are changing, they're ever changing. And as more and more people develop their homes, maybe utilize their basements, there's more and more sump pumps. People take sump pumps out and they reconnect them, maybe after an inspection. So there are all of those types of things.
Yeah, connecting them to the sewer system rather than the outside.
The storm drains.
So it seems to me for some committee, and working with the administration, it may not be an issue of county or different issues, but this seems like a real problem. Whether people are breaking the law and taking their sump pump, their basements, and throwing it into the sewers, or we have deteriorating pipes.
Is this a relevant conversation when we have our discussion
I'm going through it. It ties into we're doing flow monitoring. Okay, because it goes to growth. The big concerns here.
Well, Marty, I'm thinking that maybe the time to do this is
growth,
when we come
how much
up with our legislation on flooding. Because there's a certain amount of water, it's got to go somewhere, and we got to figure out how to handle it.
But it's an
I think you're right on point, and I think it's appropriate for this committee. I think you're okay, right on point. But you're right. We can have a longer, separate discussion about it. But Chris, let's remember that because I think that's a huge issue.
I want to suggest we do that when we talk about the
we may need to revisit the whole smoke testing program.
But you know, we're in a situation now where we're not spending a whole lot of money on pipes, and you know, from this new administration, and it ties into the deterioration since 1994 and the whole issue was. Southern half of the county.
Also, the question is, where do you put it? If you're in a flood zone,
all right, can I suggest
and the basement is wet, you don't want to put it on
Tom,
the driveway because it'll come back into your house.
Can I make a suggestion? Tom, please. We've noted this. We're going to have the discussion. It's a worthy one.
Okay, let me move on. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Number 9 seems at the end of 2008. I don't recall this. The county would create, adopt, and implement to equitably apportion the capital cost to the 4 sewer districts. So has that been, as we're preparing to go forward, now is that a finance? Someone's preparing to assess the sewer districts based on capital? We don't know what the capital was yet, frankly, right?
That's correct. Right.
But there's, I think when we voted on this, there were certain formulas, so referring to. So those formulas, I guess, are out there.
The board did approve that we would divide.
Okay, we just can't put real numbers on them yet. We don't know exactly.
I thought we did this. We
did. We have the percentages. Yeah,
that's right. We did do it now. Well, we had numbers, and now the number's a little bit less. We've got some arrow money. All right, so we'll wait on that one. Number 12, I don't recall this, and it says not applicable, non-point source study. Was that part of our stipulation, the consent order? We had to do a non-point source study as of February 2009, a year ago?
Yes.
Do you recall seeing that? A non-point source study?
Well, I remember us discussing that.
Yeah. We had a scope of work that was submitted to the DEC, and we have a consulting firm that's doing a study on non-point source.
This is the Sound Shore non-point source? It's countywide non-point source?
Well, what they're doing is they're doing it for one of the watersheds for the Bronx River, which you know is part of the Sound Shore. And Hydroqual is the
Bronx River. Let's go to
I've seen the Hydroqual.
Yes, and you know they're doing the work and they're developing that study.
So
right
the Bronx, screening the Bronx River goes into the Long Island Sound.
I thought it was Hudson. Yeah. I
thought it went to the Hudson. Yeah, I agree. A mill goes to the Hudson.
Yes, the Harlem River.
So they're screened. Is the goal that scope to identify the largest or the large numbers of non-point source?
Oh, I see. Long Island Sound.
It's a computer model that will take
West
a look at non-point sources and try and predict, you know, if you do certain things, just how much nitrogen you may take out if you remediate or do certain.
Tom, that study may tie into your flooding because now you're talking obviously not the non-point source. Nitrogen is a piece of the total water flow.
Right.
So
we're working with
that study may be very important with the flooding project. So that's where that could come in.
Chris, note that too, please.
And Hydroqual has been reporting to the flood action task force.
And my final question, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Sure.
Last question goes to, I remember some discussions along the way that if we ever get to the point of opening these plants, the DEC is doing nothing but talking about making the regulations even tighter. And are we going to be somehow granted? We build to this permit, or are they going to change the permit requirements? And after we spend the $250, we're off. Do you have any take on where DEC is heading and talking, and how that would affect us?
Well, I haven't seen the reauthorization of the TMDL for the sound. I know that there have been some studies that have indicated that treatment plants would be limited to 3 milligrams per liter total nitrogen.
And we're doing what?
Right around there,
what's the consent order? What are we building to? 3.5 or 4?
We're building to 4.
Yeah. So
that's kind of what our consent order is designed.
Well, that's my question. We're building to 4, and they come out 2 years from that. Everyone's got to do
that's
3.
That's another 25% off.
Where do we go? So that's my question. Do you know, given the consent order said, are we just going to be back in court fighting up? Do we have some grandfather period of time that we just finished? We can take a few years off. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I certainly think that there will be public hearings when those TMDLs,
we will need to get involved at that point.
Well, the question, though, is it possible to do any better?
Yeah, spend money. You can always do better.
You have limited technology. I mean, we're at limited technology right now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought we were at the best.
So we would have to we would have to engage DEC and say, we're doing.
That's really nice, but we can't. Right. You know,
they may want eliminate. This is terrible. Eliminate nitrogen. That's very nice. You want to do that, but what does the technology say? All right. I just thank you. Thank you, sir. You want to,
unless we use it all, is that?
Get an,
okay, Legislator Myerson, Legislator Abinant.
You go to Abernathy.
I think
you get
I'm
a do-over.
Yeah,
I get a do-over.
I think Marty really, that was the whole issue that I wanted, the same issue. Was, you know, it's flooding, it's people have to put the water somewhere,
right?
And so they put it into the sanitary sewer, because if they put it back out on their lawn, it's just going to come back into their driveways.
Well, that's
and then back into their basement.
And egress. Maybe some people, maybe the commissioner, if I can, what percentage is people avoiding putting on the driveway flooding and going by, and what percentage you think is groundwater just seeping into the pipes?
That's really hard to quantify.
I mean, Tom's point is, are people, is that a big problem? Because that's creating flooding. Groundwater seeping in, there's nothing that's not going to affect the flooding. That is what it is.
Because if you have flooding and you pump it out of your basement onto the street, you're just increasing the flooding.
But both, you say they're both significant issues? I think they're both significant issues? Both
they are both significant issues.
Have we done a study over there like we did on in Yonkers?
Yes, but there were different levels, if I may. I mean, that was something we got involved in so much a couple of years ago. There were different levels of participation by different municipalities. Plus, what was done when the smoke testing was done can be undone by an unscrupulous plumber who decides to hook back up to the sanitary sewer for the benefit of the homeowner.
Right, as the commissioner said, right after the inspection is done.
You can just go, okay, they're gone, phew, plug it back in.
Oh, one final question, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
On this, come back to the flow monitor, I was particularly, interested because Porches owns all of its pipes. I'm like, whenever you do something, after you get the information, what are you going to do? If we're heading to an area based on the findings, I mean, some of these pipes we're monitoring. Well, some of them are they county? Are they all municipal pipes? Let me back up. Even because I think Mamaroneck must have some. I mean, because if we find, they're leaking. You're going to come back to Porchester and send the bill to Porchester. We found some leaky pipes. Go fix it. Is that where we're heading with the results of the study?
Well, we're monitoring all the different municipalities, and we're trying to make sure that we separate all the municipalities so we can tell how much is coming from each one.
Okay.
Our limit in the sewer use ordinance is 150 gallons per capita per day. So if we know that a certain flow is coming from an area and there's so many people there, we can see if they're in.
All right, that's how you're going to find out. But the point is, but you're allocating the tax. I mean, let's say people in Harrison, their share of the sewer tax from Mamaroneck is based on assessed valuations. It's not based on, it's not a use tax. It's not based on how much water
number
we're going to find.
So,
so this flow monitoring, again, you'll be able to identify, geez, there's something going on in Harrison because you're up to 200 gallons per person.
Right.
But now you're going to call Harrison, you got a problem, go fix your pipes. I mean, that's where it's heading ultimately. I'm trying to get
that. That's the only level of enforcement we have under the sewer.
So it's a backdoor way into this ingress and egress. I mean, it really attacks that issue. The county, because last time we helped to fund that work, but the municipalities did it. So we are moving towards, if I can figure that out, as I'm thinking
it again.
We're moving towards by collecting the data. Oh, Mamaroneck, Porchester, Harrison, this is what we found. That 100 million gallons is really coming from these areas, and so we're heading eventually to some kind of I&I project.
Are we doing any studies on these? I mean, have we sent those little cameras in?
Well, we're doing this
cameras in.
We've got a 3-year project going.
Yeah.
Have we put the cameras in to see if the stuff is?
I think that's the next.
That's the next step. Once they figure out, there's a lot of water in Harrison.
Where should we put the little cameras?
Right. I think that was last year. Yeah,
that was sort of final. Where should we put the TV cameras? This is going to help us, right? But where to put the TV cameras?
And what about the stormwater system? Has anybody looked at that system? I keep coming back to that subject, but they're intertwined. I mean, if you don't have somewhere else to put the water, then
those are all municipal systems.
But is there a coherent system out there?
Is there what?
Is there a coherent system of stormwater?
And that's
there are now the MS4 regulations.
Yeah, well, Tom, let's have that, because You're right. It's a major discussion. It's an important discussion.
No, I got to keep going to.
It's a mess.
I know, but it's.
Well, it's not unless you're forced to clean it.
We can spend a whole meeting just on that subject. So.
Thank
you, Mr.
Chairman.
Duly noted. Maybe we ought to invite this commissioner back during the discussion of storm water.
Sure.
Because of the relevance. I mean, we would not normally invite him because it's a different department.
Except, yeah.
Except that it does have an impact.
The storm water is going to his pipes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only day of the year where you know there's going to be a bigger flushing is on
Super Bowl
Sunday.
Yeah.
Right. And other than that, because everybody stays home and they have parties.
Well, New Year's, a little after New Year's Eve.
New Year's, that's right.
Question over here. Matt Wallach, Citizens Campaign for the Environment. I was just going to add in, it's great that you mentioned Port Chester, because Port Chester is under its own consent order by the EPA to reduce bacteria content in the Byram River, which flows into the Sound. And some of the studies, they've already conducted some studies, already planning to create another study. So, you know, some of the things you're talking about, you know, should not maybe be worked with the villages or towns, or maybe it's already being done by the towns or villages. So, you know, rather than potential for replicating what's already been done or going to be done, maybe planning in advance. So, areas like Port Chester, though, I've met with the manager there, and you know, they've increased the amount of money going towards, you know, investigating. You know, leaky pipes and fixing pipes, but you know, they are short for money. But so looking in advance to say, hey, if we're going to be doing a study, you know, a few years from now, and someone's already doing a study now, or someone's planning on doing a study in a few years from now, and we might be wanting to get the ball rolling, maybe a cooperative thing to, you know, get involved, get maybe some of the village managers here as well to kind of see what's going on as well, because I'm a little slightly familiar with what's going on in Port Chester, but some of the other areas as well might be already have their own plans and work in the works.
I hope the flow monitoring raw data you're getting or when you get, you will be sharing with the village. I assume you work with them on that.
Well, this is a good
point. We're doing some flow monitoring.
We share data, even if it's raw data, with Dolph Rumpfeld when he's doing his investigations and looking for illicit connections or leaky connections or whatever. We also monitor the plant chlorides. To help him, we do it high tide and low tide, so they get an idea of when it's high and when it goes over a certain amount. We usually notify them so that they say, well, you found that one, but you didn't find this one.
Anybody else?
Or,
I don't know.
So there is a level of cooperation that goes on.
You can't do it.
And we do, from time to time, report to the Liswick communities mm-hmm. to let them know what goes on.
Last question I have. Just give us an update on the benefit projects that we had to do in conjunction with this?
Good question. The environmental benefit projects, Manursing Lake, there was an automatic tide gate that was supposed to be put in. That was put in on time. It's working. I think they're, you know, automatically modulating the level. I think they were doing some work, so they took it off automatic. The other part of the project was a restoration of the wetlands in Manursing Lake. I know we're just trying to get the final approvals from the Department of State, and that's to be finished by June of this year. So that work is ongoing. And the last part was a remediation project that is still in design right now. So they're on schedule. Some are done, some are being done. So,
is there any state money in these projects? And is it being held up?
I mean, the only funding that we have is the ARRA funding.
Okay, so there's nothing from the state in any of these projects?
And the WQIP.
That's from where? That's a grant, so we've gotten that money.
Well, we have to expend it, and then we put in the invoice, and then we get reimbursed.
To the state.
But I guess to Tom's point, though, is are they going to pay us?
Right.
Because they've done that with other, I know, with the arts.
Exactly. They're holding things up.
They either hold it up, they take it back.
We have not had that happen yet.
Are we billing weekly?
Not billing weekly.
Well, maybe we ought to.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry I have to go to appointments meeting that they're screaming for me to get down to.
All right, no problem. We're just wrapping up here anyhow. Any other
questions? Flowing into each other.
Right.
From legislators here. Any questions, comments?
Thank you.
Good job.
So far,
all the folks here. Okay, we've got minutes here. Does any Tom, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. Always a pleasure to see you. Thank you. We have two sets of minutes. Does somebody want to make a motion on those?
So moved on both.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any new business? Okay. Once again, special thanks to Chris for hustling to get us moving.
Do we want to meet?
To adjourn?
Second. Done.
Mike, Marty, you guys have a minute? Let's...